Sorry. You may continue to talk amongst yourselves for just a moment. As you know, when you're wrangling primary class, it's a joy. Or I could do. Gather round one and all. Join the circle, it is growing. Gather round one and all. Even if your spots are showing, gather in by God, who's all loving and all knowing. Come on now, join the song. Gather round. Gather round one and all. Join the circle, it is growing. Gather round.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome here. I actually think the kids did the job for me for the call to worship. That was awesome. You came in as a procession and then you welcomed us all and asked us to gather round and join us all. That's awesome. So today we're giving thanks to God for the gift of mothers and the mother-like nurture that many people show to others in their lives. Isaiah wrote that God is a mother to us, comforting and carrying us in her arms. And so in this house devoted to God's glory, we gather together to worship our loving, nurturing God, who, like a mother, knows us intimately, loves us unconditionally, teaches us the way we should go, and comforts us in times of needs. So let us worship God together. And I will now get the kids to come up and sing their first song with us.
Go down one more step and then face us. We didn't practice this. All right. You're gonna need to move further apart. Because if anybody gets hurt on Mother's Day, I'm not going to hear the end of it. Well, he picked me up, turned me round, set my feet on high ground. Glory, hallelujah, jubilee. He gives me peace, gives me joy. This old world cannot destroy. Glory, hallelujah, jubilee. All my life is filled with sorrow. There is not a bright tomorrow. Days are dark as night. The light he could not see. Since he came for me, I'm singing such a melody. Thank you.
What a great way to start the day. Thank you very much. We'll look forward to seeing you a little bit more shortly. I'd like to welcome everybody here on this beautiful, sunny Mother's Day. Welcome all. I see there are several guests here. Would anybody like to introduce the guests or introduce themselves? I see there's some families from the child dedication, so that's wonderful. Welcome all. And family members who we haven't seen for a while. So welcome all. Is there anybody who wants to be introduced? Okay, there we go. Okay, there's several announcements in the bulletin, both those that are going on in our church and those going in the greater community. I'm going to ask you to read through those. I'm not going to highlight any other than, you know, gratitude for prayers and cards, visits, thoughts for those that are in hospital. And that kind of leads into the sharing. We will share a little bit more about some health concerns, but I want you to take note of all the people in extended care unit and in hospital, and also make sure that we include those that are sick at home that we don't know about, and include those people in our prayers as well. Oh, the silence is wonderful. Let's bow our heads in prayer. In you, O God, every family on earth receives its name. Illumine our homes with the light of your love. We thank you for the gifts of love we have received from our mothers and those who have served as mothers in many ways, nourishing us and guiding us as we grow to be who we are. As we have been loved by them, so we are loved by you, O God. Join with us in this day of celebration as we rejoice in being loved. As you grant us peace in Christ Jesus our Lord, so we come to worship in his holy name. Amen. And I think Pastor Marv is going to come up now.
Okay, I thought red light meant it was off. Apparently not on this one. Red light means it's on. Okay. Well, as I said, as I started out, we've got a few things to do with you this morning. First of all, we want to spend a bit of time as a congregation in prayer for Peter Hirschfeld. Peter has asked for this. He's asked us especially to think about him. Peter is going to have a surgery tomorrow. And it's a pretty significant surgery. And it causes a certain amount of fear is the right word, but of anxiety, of concern. And so we want to be in prayer for him. The surgery could be up to 6 to 8 hours doing repair work from the significant infection that he suffered a few years ago. And so he asks us to be in prayer for him. So let's go ahead and pray. Our loving and gracious God, our thoughts turn toward our brother Peter Hirschfeld this morning. As he and Liz and Kyle prepare themselves for a significant surgical event tomorrow, we pray for your peace to be present with them this day, that they will be able to experience a day of togetherness and of knowing that you're present and caring for them. And then we pray, as surgery occurs tomorrow, that you will be with this entire situation, that you will enable the surgeons to do their job well, that your healing presence will be there, and that Peter might be brought safely through the surgery, and that it would all be another step along the road toward good and more complete recovery. Our prayers are for good health, for good results. We wish for that. We know that you are the God who is with us and caring. And we pray for your presence to be very clear to Peter and the family as that event occurs tomorrow. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. And then the other part of my role this morning is to engage in a parent-child dedication with you. Some of you will likely remember the last one that I was involved in. And people are already laughing because they know that they remember that parent-child dedications are events that are spontaneous and you never quite know what might happen. But I had the privilege, Cheryl and I did, of spending a few minutes with Chris and Ashley in their home on Thursday night and with Nora, and so we're hopeful that we have created a scenario where Nora will feel comfortable with me. We'll see. So on this morning, we declare once again the significance of the parental and the church commitment to draw children to Jesus. We recognize that one of the important tasks of the church is the nurture of its younger people. And so doing a parent-child dedication on Mother's Day with a Sunday school thing, there's some good symmetry to that. Now with this ceremony of dedication for parents and children, we note both the responsibility of the parents and that of the congregation in training the children that God entrusts to them. Chris and Ashley Dirksen wish to commit themselves publicly this morning to the task of teaching and modeling God's truths to their child. With this act, the parents also recognize the value of being connected to a church community, of connecting their child to a church community, and of having the church community support and help them in the task of raising that child. Now we say publicly that this act, this parent-child dedication, is not necessary for the salvation of Nora. We view it rather as a time of parents committing to nurture their children towards salvation and to giving their children to God for His purposes, as well as a request from us for God to place His blessing on this child. So we're going to ask Chris and Ashley to come forward with Nora as we proceed with the ceremony of dedication. When Christian parents present their child to God before the congregation, they come to thank God for the life entrusted to them, to offer their child back to God, and to ask for God's blessing on their life together. We as a congregation come to share their joy, to pray with them for their child's well-being, to offer and to receive Nora, in this case, and to the life and care of our church. Like Hannah and Mary of old, you have brought your child here to consecrate her to God. You have come to offer your child into the strong and tender providence of God in the nurture of the church. Let's pray. Gracious God, like a father who nurtures his children, you have cared for us. Like a mother, you have called us by name and claimed us as your own. You have loved us into being, placed us in human families, and blessed us on our journey. By the presence of your Spirit, consecrate this child and her parents for their journey together through life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Is this on?
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I'm Chris, and this is my lovely wife, Ashley, and my daughter, Nora. Nora is just about 1 year old. She was born May 24th of last year. She's normally a very happy girl. She likes to sleep, surprisingly, and her favorite things are cuddling and climbing on anything that she can reach. And she's very curious and can find her way into anything that's below knee height, I would say. we'd like to thank our families and everybody else for being here today, and happy Mother's Day.
Will you accept responsibility for the well-being of this child? Will you, by prayer, example, and words, support these parents in nurturing this child to respond to the grace and truth that are in Christ?
We do.
Chris and Ashley, may the God who has entrusted you with Nora grant you fullness of life in grace and prayer. May God grant you to live a life of faithfulness to the gospel before her, so that she might know the way of the
No.
No. The God who created you, who sent His Son to redeem you, and His Spirit to dwell in you, may this God watch over you, enabling you to seek His Nora, may God bless you and keep you. May the very face of God shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God's presence embrace you.
I can't give my parents a very big gift. And I'm too little, they see. There's only one thing I can give them today. Is love that's bigger than me.
So you can all come back up. You might be able to tell we're singing some of the songs that we sing down in Sunday school. I really, really hope that there are times when you hear us when you're in the middle of the service while we're singing, because these are a wonderful group of children. They sing sometimes. But they are just, I don't know, I love being with them. I love singing with them. Their smiles on a Sunday morning light up my life.
From the ground. the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high.
The family. The family is like a garden with joy, for all to share with tender, growing blossoms that thrive on love and care.
And when the flowers are gathered for a very special day, they make a bright and beautiful happiness bouquet.
I love my mom because she helps me with my homework.
F. Family. F is for funny and fun. A is for amazing and awesome. M is for Mother's Day. I is for important. L is for loving and kind. And Y is for you have someone who loves you.
I love my mom because I like cooking food with her.
I stand to praise you, but I fall on my knees. My spirit is willing, but my flesh is so weak. So light the fire in my soul, fan the flame, make me whole. Lord, you know.
The Lord was creating mothers. He was into his sixth day of overtime, and two angels appeared and said, "You're doing a lot of fiddling on this one."
The Lord said, "Have you read the specs on this one? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic. Have 180 movable parts, all replaceable, run on black coffee and leftovers, have a lap that disappears when she stands up, a kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to a disappointed love affair, and 6 pairs of hands."
The first angel shook her head slowly and said, "6 pairs of hands? No way."
"It's not the hands that are causing problems," said the Lord. "It's the 3 pairs of eyes that mothers have to have."
"That's on the standard model?" asked the second angel.
The Lord nodded. "One that sees through doors that are closed when she asks, 'What are you kids doing in there?' when she already knows. Another here in the back of the head that sees what she shouldn't, but what she has to know. And of course, the ones here in the front that can look at a child when he goofs off and says, 'I understand and I love you,' without so much as uttering a word."
"Lord," said the first angel, touching his sleeve gently, "go to bed tomorrow."
"I can't," said the Lord. "I'm so close to creating something so close to myself. Already, I have one who heals herself when she is sick, can feed a family of 6 on 1 pound of hamburger, and can get a 9-year-old to send under a shower."
The second angel circled the model of a mother very slowly. "It's too soft," she sighed.
"But tough," said the Lord excitedly. "You cannot imagine what this mother can do or endure."
"Can it think?"
"Not only can it think, but it can reason and compromise."
Finally, the second angel bent over and ran her finger across the cheek. "There's a leak," she pronounced. "I told you, you are trying to put too much into this model."
"It's not a leak," said the Lord. "It's a tear."
"What's it for?"
"It's for joy, sadness, disappointment, pain, loneliness, and pride."
"You are a genius," said the second angel.
Okay, so I have two Bibles to give to two people that are graduating from the sixth grade. So can Luca and Astrid come on up? There you guys go.
Singing sections, we sing the Lord's Prayer. So if you would join us, please.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive
that the power and the glory forever and ever.
Okay, the first reading is from John 2, verses 1 to 12. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciple had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink, but you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers, and his disciples. There they stayed for a few days. The second reading is from John 19:25-27. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home.
Is it on now? Great. What a great Sunday it's been so far. It's always really great to see you kids up here and doing things for us. It's kind of funny, you know, it's Mother's Day. What do mothers want to see? We want to see our kids performing for us, right? And then you can be proud and say, "That was my kid who did that, Shauna. I'm sure you're so proud of Mackenzie. That was really great, Mackenzie." So we're continuing the theme of going through the book of John that we've been doing the last few Sundays. And so for this Sunday, they saved for me the passages where Jesus interacts with his mother. So that's at his first miracle, the turning the water into wine, and then at the cross. So everyone has a mother, and Jesus is no exception. The title of my sermon was supposed to be Jesus and His Mom. It got missed from the bulletin there, but these two passages bookend Jesus' ministry on earth. In chapter 2, he's just called his disciples and performs his first miracle. And in chapter 19, he's hanging on the cross, ready to die for our sins. It's fitting that Mary, his mother, is there for both of these events. Now, the first thing that struck me about these two passages is that Jesus calls his mom woman. I don't know about your mom, but I'm pretty sure no mom I know, especially not my own, would appreciate being addressed by their children as woman. My Bible was quick to point out that the Greek for woman is not meant as disrespectful, so we can all relax about that. Jesus is not being cheeky with his mom. Us Mennonites don't like to talk about Mary very much. Her seemingly near worship by our Catholic cousins makes us uncomfortable. So for the most part, we talk about her a bit at Christmas because we can't avoid it, and that's about it. It's too bad, really, because Mary is a perfect example of someone who believed fully in Jesus right from the beginning. She didn't need to see his miracles to believe in him. She never doubted or denied Jesus. She was a perfect disciple and a perfect mother. In the first passage, Jesus is invited to a wedding, as is his mom. A wedding celebration at this time could have lasted a few days or even up to a week, and the hosts were responsible for all their guests' needs during this time of celebration. To run out of wine would have been a very big deal and very embarrassing for the hosts. So when Mary says they have no more wine, she's asking Jesus to spare the hosts from a great embarrassment. Moms do a lot for their children, and let's be honest, moms expect a lot from their children too. If I ask my kids to set the table, I expect them to do it without having to ask 10 more times. The same goes for putting their clean laundry away or picking up their Lego off the floor so I don't step on it when I least expect to. So when Mary says they have no more wine, Jesus knows exactly what his mom expects him to do. And Jesus says, "Mom, why do you involve me? My hour has not yet come." Doesn't that sound like something we would say? "Mom, come on, this isn't my problem." You can almost see Jesus rolling his eyes as he says this. But Mary, when Jesus says what sounds like no to me, Mary just says to the servants, "Do what he tells you." She knows he's going to help out. She doesn't doubt Jesus will do the right thing and help these people avoid embarrassment. I feel like at this point, some of the disciples might still not be 100% about Jesus. It says in verse 11, "What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him." This miracle cemented the fact for them that Jesus was who he claimed to be. But I would think that the example of Mary, her unfailing belief in Jesus, also did much to persuade them. Can you imagine believing in your children the way Mary believed in Jesus? My kids are pretty great, but I have doubts about them being able to pass a French test or about them keeping their shirts on at a birthday party. That last one is Jacob, by the way, not Astrid. He just can't keep his shirt on when he's having fun. Who knows you better than your mom? She knew you when you were just figuring out who you were for yourself. If Jesus' mom acts so cavalier about asking Jesus to perform a miracle, as if it's no big deal, if she is so certain he can do what she asks, even though what she's asking is impossible, what an impact that would have made for the disciples whom he had just called and didn't know him that well yet. Moving from the wedding to chapter 19, where Jesus is crucified, we see Mary there as well. I think one of the worst things for a parent would be to live longer than your child. Parents are supposed to protect their children, and this feeling doesn't go away as children get older. Mary can't protect Jesus from the violence he is now experiencing. She can only stand by and watch, a witness to his death. Mary is with two other Marys, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the wife of Clopas, who was Jesus' aunt. There is no mention of the rest of Jesus' family. In John chapter 7, we hear a bit from Jesus' brothers, who it says did not believe in him. In chapter 7, he tells his brothers when they challenge him, "My time is not yet here." It's very similar to what he tells Mary, "My hour is not yet come." But now, on the cross, his hour has come. His purpose is about to be fulfilled. One of Jesus' last thoughts is for the care of his mother. He directs John, the disciple whom he loved, to care for Mary as if he were her son. You may wonder about Jesus' brothers and why they wouldn't care for their mother. The thought is that because they still did not believe in Jesus, they would have been unwilling to care for their mother, who believed in Jesus with all her heart. You may think them bad sons, but I can see where they would have been coming from. They may have felt slighted by Mary. I like to imagine she loved her other children just as much as Jesus, but I get the feeling he was the clear favorite. We can see by these passages that Jesus loved his mother and Mary loved her son. Jesus was more than Mary's son. He was her savior too. As he was dying, he ensured her physical well-being would be taken care of by John. But in dying, he took care of her spiritual well-being as well. Jesus died for Mary's sins just as much as for our own. As I was trying to finish up my sermon, my daughter wanted to use the computer, and she was encouraging me to wrap up my sermon quickly by saying something like, "The moral of the story is to be a mom like Mary and a son like Jesus, the end." But being a mother is hard. It can be very rewarding, but it's mainly hard. And Mary makes it look straightforward and easy. But her son was Jesus. I can say with certainty that none of our children would ever be mistaken for being Christ-like. Most kids are selfish, but they can't help that. And most moms are tired, especially moms of little ones, and they need a nap. I can't help but wonder how hard it must have been for Mary to parent her other children, those brothers who didn't believe. So I'm not going to say be a mom like Mary or a son like Jesus, but rather try to be a believer like Mary. Believe deeply in your children, your family, and your friends. Believe in yourself, and most importantly, believe in Jesus. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the gift of your Son. Like Mary, help us be passionate believers. Give us strength to do your will when it is hard. Be with all the mothers and fathers and give them wisdom to raise their children to strive to be Christ-like. Amen.
Three in the morning and I'm still awake, so I picked up a pen and a page, and I started writing just what I'd say if we were face to face. I'd tell you just what you mean to me, tell you these simple truths. Be strong in the Lord and never give up hope. You're gonna do great things, I already know. God's got his hand on you, so don't live life in fear. Forgive and forget, but don't forget why you're here. Take your time and pray. These are the words I would say. Last time I saw you, you said you were hurting, and I felt your pain in my heart. I want to tell you that I keep on praying, love will find you where you are. I know, 'cause I've already been there, so please hear strong in the Lord and never give up hope. You're gonna do great things, I already know. God's got his hand on you, so don't live life in fear. Forgive and forget, but don't forget why you're here. Take your time and pray. These are the words I would say, from one simple life to another. I will say, come find peace in the Father. Strong in the Lord and never give up hope. You're gonna do great things, I already know. God's got his hand on you, so don't live life in fear. Forgive and forget, but don't forget why you're here. Take your time and pray. Thank God for each day. His love will find a way. These are the words I would say.
Please stand for the benediction and remain standing for the last song. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. Isaiah 66, verse 13. Go now in the comfort and peace of the one who gave birth to us. Go in the assurance that the Comforter is with us always. Go to give comfort and peace to others. Amen.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, or I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out of, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in love, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out of, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say,
Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. And blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.